Today's the last week of our series on Habakkuk, and it's been a seven-week series that we started in October of last year, so we've come in and out of it a little bit. And as we conclude our series today, I'm going to read from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 to 19. And as I read it out, the words will be up on the screen behind me. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 to 19. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever, my Savior. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress and the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory, Lord? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows and the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. We are so blessed at this church to have worship teams who come along every Sunday morning. They get here early, 9 o'clock or earlier, and they put time aside to practice as well as on Thursday nights to lead our Sunday morning worship time. And they do an amazing job leading us in worship each week, leading us into the experience and the encounter of the presence of God through worship. And as we sing the various worship songs, what we find is that a really good worship song or a hymn, as the song is sung and as it unfolds, it might start a bit slow, but it builds and it builds and it builds and it reaches a moment in the song. It's almost like a crescendo, if you like, where as the gathered church together, we experience the touch of God's presence in worship, His love breaking through. We're so thankful for our worship teams who lead us each and every week here on a Sunday morning. As we come to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 to 19 today, we are reaching a similar sort of crescendo. Just like the very best worship songs, Habakkuk has been building and building all through this book. And now that we're in the final week, week 7, we've arrived. And in verse 17 and 18, Habakkuk is in full flight and he makes this stunning proclamation, though the fig tree does not bud, and there be no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, and there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. As Habakkuk is writing these words, he's anticipating what is about to happen to the Israelites, to his people. For the Babylonians are coming. and the agricultural industries that the Israelites had grown so reliant on them, that the growing of figs and the grapes, that was all about to be destroyed. From prosperity, the Israelites were about to be plunged into poverty. From sovereignty, they were going into slavery again, and it was a desperate time. It was a desperate situation, and Habakkuk is here, and he fully acknowledges how desperate the situation is, but he says the most important three-letter word. He says, yet. Yet. No matter what calamity is coming on us, yet. No matter what is about to happen to us, yet. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk's worship of God is no longer dependent on his current situation. Habakkuk has been on this journey of faith all through the book of Habakkuk, and it's one that we've been able to observe as we've worked through this seven-week series. Now, each week I've given a title to my message, and it started with two words, when God. Every title to my message in this series has started with the two words, when God, and it's interesting to reflect on each title from each week of this series as we've worked through, and you can see them up on the screen there. When God's silent, when God judges, when God allows injustice, when God says wait, when God speaks, when God brings mercy, when God draws near. Even in just looking at the titles of the messages, we can see how Habakkuk has gone on that journey of faith through the challenges, through the doubts, through the fears, through the uncertainty, but also in experiencing God's grace and his mercy, his revelation and his restoration. From Habakkuk, we can learn that there are times when God seems so, so far away, but there are also times when he seems so, so near. There's something about Habakkuk's journey of faith that I think many of us can identify with, because we all face difficult times in our lives. We all go through seasons of great challenge and trial. It's natural and normal during those times to come to God and to ask him, why? Why, God? Just as Habakkuk did way back in chapter 1. But it's also important that we're able to move beyond just the asking of why. And as we look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 to 17 today, we can see that he's moved beyond asking this why question. He's come to a place of peace. He's navigated the trials and the troubles that he's going through. And today, from this passage, there are three things that I think we can glean. Three things that will help us as we navigate the trials and the troubles of our own. The first thing I think we can glean from this passage is in the word reassurance. Reassurance. Some 800 years before Habakkuk, Moses was blessing the Israelites for one last time before he would die. It was just before the Israelites were about to cross the Jordan River into the land that had been promised from long ago by God. And Moses speaks to the Israelites and he shares with them how God had come to him and God had stayed with him through the journey. God had proven faithful. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2, he says how God had shone forth from the Mount of Paran. Now in verse 3 and 4 of this passage in Habakkuk, what we find Habakkuk doing is looking back 800 years ago in order to give himself hope and to give the Israelites hope for what was to come. And he finds himself echoing the very words of Moses. He says, God came from Teman, from the Holy One, from Mount Paran. The Israelites are about to endure a terrible suffering. They are about to be in slavery again. And Habakkuk's taking them right back, reminding them of God's faithfulness from all those years ago when Moses had led them out of Egypt, out of slavery. Habakkuk is reassuring the Israelites that no matter what situation they find themselves in now, no matter what the future might hold, God will prove himself faithful. Just as he's done long ago for Moses and the Israelites, just as he had done in the past again and again, so he will again today prove himself faithful. Last Sunday night, a group of us gathered here at the church to pray into the bushfire situation, the crisis that was unfolding across our land and has been for some months now. We prayed for those who had suffered so much already. We prayed that God would bring down rain. And I'm sitting there just in the foyer there, and I'm praying for God to make it rain. And it felt sort of ridiculous to be praying that prayer at the time. I'm not quite sure why it was, because I get that, and I know that God has control over creation and nature, and if he wants to make it rain, he can, and he can answer those prayers. But there was this doubt, this nagging doubt there. Is God really going to answer? Seems pretty big prayer to be praying that rain would come. And as I was praying, I was reminded of the weekly prayers in this church over 9 years ago, when we were experiencing a once in a generation, or at least that's what it was termed then, a once in a generation drought. And we were praying every week for rain. And in January 9 years ago, the rain came. The floodgates were opened. We had one of the wettest Januaries on record. Now, we were living next door to the church at the time, the house just to your left and to my right down there. And when it rained and it rained and rained, our front lawn turned itself into a swimming pool. Our kids loved it. Little kids at the time thought it was the best thing ever to have a swimming pool in your front yard. The Rosslyn Reservoir, which is our local catchment, almost overnight went from 4% capacity to 70%. Within a few months later, it was up over 90%. And so as I'm out there and I'm praying to God, I'm asking for rain, I remembered, God reminded me of how he said, I've answered that prayer long ago. I will prove faithful again. And so it shouldn't have been a surprise that as we were there praying for rain, what had happened? It started to rain. And it was rain that lasted for much of the next 24 hours. It was rain that continued on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, some of our best rain that we've had for a long time. Rain that was able to dampen those areas that had been so affected by fire. If not putting them to bed, then certainly decreasing the impact that is ongoing. You see, no matter what's happening around us, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, we can be reassured today that God is a God who hears our prayers. Our God is a God who draws near to us when we come to him. There's a second aspect that I think we can glean from this passage, and it's found in the word response. Response. In verse 16, Habakkuk, quite vividly here, describes an experience of trauma. In verse 16, he says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Now, up on the screen, I want to show two photos of two different people. There they are. On the left is an Indigenous elder from a remote part of Western Australia, a place that's got a dark history, actually. The town in which he comes from was subject to a massacre of Indigenous people in 1926 by law enforcement officers in response to a pastoralist who had been killed. And so numbers of Indigenous people lost their lives in this massacre. And ever since, this town of WA has been subject to all sorts of issues of alcoholism, of neglect and abuse. And they're reoccurring issues in this community. They've been passed down generation to generation. And so intergenerational poverty is just rife in this community. And there is little hope, so it seems. Now, on the right is a bushfire survivor. She was a volunteer firefighter. And she was away from her home fighting fires, trying to protect other people's property and save lives. And while she was doing that, the fires came to her home. And she lost her house and she lost all her property, her pets and her animals. She lost a dear friend, a next door neighbor who perished in the fires. And a season of despondency and grief for all that she had lost was now upon her. Now, there's something quite remarkable about both of these photos as I look at them, because these two people are both survivors. There's a strength to both of them. They've got resilience. There's a backbone there. There's all those things we admire in Australians in these two people. but you can still see the experience of trauma etched into their faces. You see, when I look at these photos, I see a strength, but there's also a brokenness and there's a fragility there. The Indigenous artist and academic Lilla Watson once said, and this quote will be up on the screen too, thanks Archer. She said this, "If you've come here to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you come here because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." And this quote encapsulates, I think, really well the methodology or the philosophy around anything that we as a church try to do in this particular space. We don't go and visit Indigenous communities in Dayton or in Footscray to seek to help them. We don't go to the Klong Toi slum of Bangkok where our partners of Second Chance are at work and seek to help them. We don't grow food here in our community garden just to seek to help those who are in need. Now, there's a bigger picture here. We come alongside. We come alongside the lonely. We come alongside the hurting and the marginalized. And we do so recognizing that there's brokenness in us as well as in them. And it's when we together, shoulder to shoulder, respond to the need that we actually see God's grace flow forth. From this passage, we are reassured that God is in control no matter what the situation. From this passage, we are inspired to respond to those who are in need. And so we come to the final aspect of this passage, the final aspect that we can glean from this passage, and it's in the word resolution. Resolution. In verse 19, Habakkuk finds resolution. He's fully aware what's about to happen to him and his people. And he's declared that he's still going to rejoice in God anyway. He's still going to praise God. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like that of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Habakkuk has grappled with the terrible suffering that he and the Israelites were about to endure. He's moved from anger at God to acceptance of God's plan and then even to agreement of God's plan. And eventually now he's not only embracing God's plan, he's embracing God himself. He's moved from blaming God to bonding with God. Habakkuk has learned how even in the midst of suffering, even as God allows it to happen at times, God draws near to us. I want to show a video now. It's of an Indigenous Christian leader from Sydney, a guy by the name of Bob Slocky, sharing a little bit of his own story, actually, of how God has drawn near to him, but also what reconciliation looks like from his perspective. Let's go to that video now.
I think it was in Batemans Bay when Dad started teaching me how to fish and stuff and getting out on the rocks and watching him catching the big blue groupers and big drummers and stuff and getting them home and munching them down. When I was younger, I didn't consciously think about, you know, this is the way we used to do it because we were just doing it, so it was just part of family, part of life. And then looking now, sort of like, so this is what the old people used to do and have fun and connect with family and get together and just collect everything together and eat. My experience is that there seems to be a lot more infighting within families, which has caused a lot of division, and a lot of families don't get together as much as they used to. We have been directed into working, getting a job, looking after your family at home, so therefore your houses are smaller, you can't have as much family around. It's been quite a big struggle for me to fit into current society and hold on to the heritage I've come from and let go of hard feelings, harsh feelings against the government, the church, society. A lot of the song and dance, a lot of the language from my home country had been taken away. And my grandfather, he was taken from a mission down in Nowra, I think, when he was about 12, and put in, I think it was Kinsella Boys Home, right at a time when he would have learnt the culture, the traditions, to pass on to me. Hanging around with the cousins and uncles and that, and doing the things we did, you know, going fishing, that was all part of it. But what was intertwined with that was, you know, getting a beer, go scoring some pot, having a smoke, singing a song, partying, you know. The more I did get into that drinking and smoking pot, the more culture it took away from me. So the more it separated me from what our Koori culture was about. It's not so much what anyone can do to fix it as what someone can do to hear it and gain an understanding of another brother, another sister. What is the hurt in their life? Why have they got that hurt? So Australia together for me is forget trying to implement reconciliation and live it.
Habakkuk has shown it to us. Bob Slocke, who we've just seen, has shown it to us that there's this journey of faith that we go on. A movement from demanding that God answers our questions to a realization that God gives answers to even deeper questions than what we were first asking. For yes, there are challenges in life. Yes, there are difficulties. But in them, and especially in them, we worship a God who draws near. We may have every right to be tired. We may have every right to allow the despondency to overwhelm. We may have every right for our bones to cry out for rest. But when God draws near, our feet become like that of the deer. And we tread the heights once again. For the journey of faith that God calls us out on is one of following. It's one of being led to places that might feel like they're scary at first, places where it would seem that it's easy for us to fall, and yet when we go, when we follow, God takes us out to those deeper waters. And when we enter into the deeper waters, those waters of following, those waters where it's really no longer safe or comfortable for us anymore, it's in those places that we meet with God, that we find His grace and His presence. It's in those places that our faith is made stronger. Will you stand with me? The final song we're singing today is Oceans. It's a song that declares how God can take us out, how God can take us on that journey, how He calls us out to those things that we don't know, where we might fall. But in the mystery of that, in the oceans deep, our faith stands. Today, on this Australia Day, we can lament, and we should, but we can also be grateful. We can be grateful for God's presence. We can be grateful for His love and the freedom that He brings to us. as we simply follow, as we allow Him to lead. Let's sing together, Oceans.